This show may contain strong language and sexual content. If you're a minor looking for information or help without all the grown-up stuff, visit our website at mygayagendapodcast.com for resources. This episode contains discussion of sex, genitalia, and acephobia. It also contains discussions about the LGBTQIA community, but you probably figured that out already. It's right in the title.
Monday, we're super gay. Tuesday is also gay. Wednesday is still pretty gay. And Thursday, I have a night class. Friday, we continue to be gay. Saturday is the gayest day. Sunday, yeah, it's still gay, but we also record a podcast.
Hello, hello, and welcome to My Gay Agenda, an investigative podcast where we interview the queer community and plan our world domination. My name is Christina.
My name is Jen, and we are your co-conspirators in plotting whatever the heck cisgender straight people think we're doing.
Hey Jen, can you talk about our bi-schedule for today?
Why sure, today we have a very special guest, our first guest actually.
Hey!
My very, very good friend, Cortland. And Cortland's gonna tell us a little about her and her gay agenda, and at the end we might play a little mini game.
Ooh, I'm excited. Hello, Cortland.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. It's good to be here.
I'm glad that we managed to, for our very first guest, find somebody who's kind of just if, like, Jen and I had a child, both in appearance and vocally.
Oh my goodness. Now that you say it, I feel so honored by this.
So let's get right into it. Just tell us a little about yourself, Cortland.
I'm Cortland. I'm 22. I am an artist in all capacities. I like to act and sing and dance. I'm a photographer and a poet, and I'm really queer. I identify as bi, genderqueer, and asexual.
Excellent. Yeah. All right.
Three whole things.
Three entire things.
Goodness.
I'm just really greedy.
What a queer episode. I'm so excited.
We got it all. We got everything. You're getting your money's worth when you subscribe to this podcast.
I'm trying to organize my cards in a way that I can see them all and not forget anything.
Yes, for those listening, which I guess is everyone, this is a podcast in audio format. Cortland brought note cards.
Actual note cards.
Like, covered in notes. Note card. More prepared than we are, I might argue.
I went into my episode just being like, I'm gay.
Yeah. Ask me about that, I guess.
Yeah. I have a computer in front of me. I could have typed it out, but I just really like to write things down.
But sometimes you have flashcards, and you want to use them. First of all, I just wanted to touch a little on what each of those mean for you. So we're now hearing the phrase genderqueer on this podcast for the very first time.
Me too, honestly, in my life. I just figured out that term works for me. I'm still trying it out, actually. For like 3 weeks, I used non-binary, and before that, I just kind of was like, I'm a boy and a girl. For a while, I was saying that bi-gender is like the definition that works the best for me, because it's pretty much like, I'm a boy and a girl. I'm a man and a woman. I just kind of am everything. But then I was like, I feel like I still need a word. I don't know how I feel about labels in general. But yeah, so I'm kind of testing out genderqueer, seeing how it feels.
Cool. So what about that label in particular do you identify with at this time?
I'm not really sure. I think it's nice because it's descriptive but still vague. And it has the word queer in it, which I like. So anybody who thinks that that's a red flag will just run for the hills, and I don't have to worry about them.
Just nip that right in the bud.
Yeah, weed them out early. Absolutely.
Exactly. My whole thing is that, like, if you're a straight dude and you're into me, you're at least a little bit gay.
Sorry.
Like, I don't make the rules.
I think we should also try to, like, have a definition of the word genderqueer, just so anybody listening right now is like, it's more diverse and broad in what way?
I'll Google that, I guess.
Yeah, let's go ahead and Google. Oh, I have it.
Oh, you have it? Perfect.
This ties into our conversation about not having totally, like, full knowledge on what all these terms mean because of our community being so, like, split on what these words mean. But
yeah, honestly, I'm like, oh, it's genderqueer. What do you mean? It's genderqueer. I don't have to explain this.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. It's, like, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's all in the name. It's like paper towels, you know?
You know what you're getting into. They're towels made of paper.
Exactly.
So,
I guess.
It's all in the name, Jen.
Okay.
The clarification is that it took me, like, 15 years to realize that the name paper towels comes from the fact that they're towels made out of paper.
We're so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here.
I now have a definition for genderqueer in front of me for anybody listening at home who is also hearing this for the first time. One definition I found is genderqueer people embrace a fluidity of gender expression that is not limiting.
I like that. I think that fluidity is really important. I experience fluidity across the board in my queerness.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So genderqueer, like, there's not a ton of fluidity in that that is, like, well.
Well, so, like, are there days where you feel more feminine and days where you feel more masculine, or is it always, like, both?
It's always both, okay. I think. I used to kind of think, like, you know, in that way that I'm not queer enough because I knew someone who identified as gender fluid, and so I was thinking, like, oh, well, some days they feel like a boy, and so they dress like a boy, and some days they feel like a girl, so they dress like a girl. But I kind of always dress the way I dress, and for a while I was dressing more like a boy, and now I'm kind of dressing more femme. And so I think it more has to do with, like, the cycle that I'm in my life at the time, rather than day-to-day. I've been dressing pretty femme for a while, but there's still, like, a little bit of mask in there sometimes, and it's just kind of like a mishmash.
Yeah, and I mean, you can feel equally femme and equally masculine and just dress more femme, because I feel like this is going to become a catchphrase on the show. Clothing has no gender.
Exactly. And, like, gender expression and gender identity are
so different.
Different.
Yeah.
Oh, very,
yeah.
Very much.
And they can overlap, but they don't always. And then, in other portions of my life, fluidity. So I use the term bi, because I feel weird saying bisexual, even though that's, like, the thing that everybody says. Like, that's, everybody knows what bisexuality is, so it's just easy to say. But since I'm ace, it's like, I am not sexual, but I feel like, so I used to identify, up until very recently, as gray asexual. So it was like, sometimes I experience sexual attraction. Sometimes I like to have sex. So when I have sex, if I have sex, I will have sex with anybody. But that, it's like, sex is, like, out the window for me right now. So I don't want to just say biromantic, because I'm like, well, if I ever have sex again, that just feels strange to like, specify. Because it's not only romantic necessarily, it's very confusing. With the aceness, I've been feeling very much like I never want to have sex again in my entire life. So I'm trying out just purely asexual. No nonsense. I'm not going to try and convince myself that I'm still somewhere on the spectrum. I'm just going to act like I'm ace because I am. And then if anyone has a problem with that, I'll be like, sorry.
But you were saying it's like the way you dress goes with, like, cycles of your life.
Yeah.
That aceness has changed, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so I have definitely been ace my whole life. I think that I figured out the terminology for it probably when I was around 19. But my whole life, like, my mom has always been very sex positive and always talking to me from a very young age about sex and the safety and how good it is and, oh, if you're doing it with the right person and if you, you know, even if you're not in love, if you're just doing it for fun, you're being safe, whatever, like, it feels so good and it's a great experience.
That's very nice. She just had the wrong target audience.
Exactly. And I appreciate my mom so much and I'm glad that she had those talks with me, but it just, like, didn't resonate with me because I always would think, like, oh, sex sounds gross, sex sounds scary, and then even when I started having sex before I was ready, by the way, it was still really gross and scary and I didn't really like it.
Do you think, like, I know you didn't have the words for it until you were older, but do you think having that conversation and that dialogue with your mom might have, like, helped you figure it out sooner than you might have otherwise?
Maybe. And I had a lot of friends, like, in middle school and high school who would always, like, make sex jokes and, like...
High school.
Yeah. And I adopted the persona of, I have a dirty mind, because I would just end up thinking the way my friends thought, just, like, as a coping mechanism, because I was like, I want to fit in, and, oh, everyone else is making these jokes, so I might as well, too, and I still have, like, some residual of that left over, and I hate it, and so sometimes I'll make sex jokes around my friends now, and they're like, oh, and I'm like, I didn't even like that, why did I say that?
We all had a bad experience here.
Yeah, like, this was not enjoyable for anybody. So yeah, I think it was just like a combination of society and the friends I was with and my mom and everything that just was saying like, you know, this is something that I'm feeling like I just don't identify with any of this that's going on. But I don't, like, I never thought about sex in my everyday life. I never had any desire to have sex. Like, when I was younger, I'd be like, I want to kiss that person, but it was like someone I had a crush on for 3 years, you know?
Right.
So like, I also recently have I've been figuring out a lot of stuff recently.
The sweet beauty of growing up.
Oh, yeah. You know, like
figuring everything I'm out all at once.
Yeah, I'm young as shit. I still got a lot of shit to figure out. That what I have been viewing as what I've been calling physical attraction for my whole life, I realize is just aesthetic attraction. Mm-hmm. Like I'd say, oh, I'm so physically attracted to that person. I just like the way they look. And even if that translates into I want to kiss them, it's not a physical attraction, you know? I'm not physically, I don't know how to describe it any other way than using the word, but.
Just since we're getting into different types of attraction, I don't want to pry too much, but I mean, it's an interview.
Yes. Please, I'm an open book.
Do you think you experience more of like a sensual attraction? Because I've definitely noticed some like sensual like imagery and thoughts in some of your poems.
Yes.
That could be, I think, mistaken by certain people as sexual attraction, but as a fellow ace, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I realized a few years ago, like, I think like 4 or 5 years ago, I was hooking up with someone, and we didn't end up doing anything sexual. We were just kind of like making out, and it was heated, or whatever the kids say. I don't know.
Not that, probably.
Probably not.
They definitely don't say whatever the kids are saying. Don't use that phrase.
Yeah, probably not. And he noticed that I was responding much more to, like, touching and grabbing and hair pulling and back scratching and, like, sensual things, and he used that word, and I was like, and he said, you're very sensory, and I was like, oh, so now I say that to everyone. I say, I'm very sensory, and it's horrible, but yeah, and I think that that's a big thing for me, that I do love physical touch, and I love physical intimacy, just don't want any genitals near me.
I love that song. So
yeah, it's dropping on iTunes very soon.
It is literally going to drop on iTunes
as
soon as I upload it. That's exactly how podcasting works. Yeah. So we touched a bit in the first episode about Jen's, as we called it, flavors of ace.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was me, by the way. Oh, yeah. I was the friend.
Oh, my God.
That's when I said a friend.
We're going full circle now.
Yeah. I was listening to it, and I was like, oh, thanks for the shout out. Hair flip.
First episode cameo. It sounds like you have very different flavors of ace. So can you, I guess, how people typically say, like, explain it to me like I'm five. Can you explain it to me like I'm straight?
Can that be another catchphrase on this show?
Oh, it sure can, yes.
I love that.
So can you talk to me about asexuality for you? Like, a definition?
I think, since it is fluid, I think the simplest way to put it is I don't like sex. I don't want to have sex. I don't want to think about sex. I don't want to hear about sex. The end. There is a level of sex repulsion for me as well, and that goes along with my whole life thinking that sex was scary and gross. That's still there. It didn't go away. Yeah, so I'm trying to figure that whole thing out with my therapist, but I might just leave it and let it be, because now that I am under the assumption that I will never have sex again, it might not be a problem anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if that works for you, you don't need to try and, like,
exactly.
Yeah, solve it.
Yeah.
For those listening who are not as familiar with the flavors of ace, there's, I mean, we talked about the different kinds, but yes, there's certain ace people who are sex repulsed, as in just disgusted by the idea of sex and don't want anything to do with it, and there are more who are, what is it, sex positive?
Indifferent, I know.
There are people who are apathetic, so they're willing to do it occasionally because they want to make their partner feel good. And then there's those who do not have sexual attraction, but they still have some of a something of a sexual drive. So they'll still do sex, but they don't look at someone and think, I want to do a sex with them. Right now you're leaning more towards the sex repulsion.
Yeah. Yeah, and so before I was juggling with, oh, okay, when I have sex, it feels good and I like it, but then afterwards I feel like, oh, well, that was gross. Oh, I don't like that I did that. And so, like, relatable. Anytime I'm not turned on, it's like I never think about sex. I never want to have sex. I don't feel that way. And so, like, sometimes after sex, I'm like, oh, okay, goodbye. This is over.
So it's like an impulse decision that you always regret.
Yes. It's like buyer's remorse.
Some people have shopping addictions. Some people have sex occasionally.
I literally told my therapist, I said, I feel like I have a sex addiction because I know that I don't, but it's just like, I want it. And then every time I have it, I hate myself and everyone around me. And it affects my everyday life, but not anymore. It's like,
it's really interesting.
It's like, it's something that I actively don't want to do and I know is bad for me. But like, for a while, I just kept doing it. It was like, okay, I'm never gonna have sex again. Oh, I just had sex twice in a week. What?
See, it's so funny because, like, we are both ace, but I'm hearing this and part of me is like, oh my god, hashtag relatable, and the other part of me is like, what? It's such a strange feeling of, like, understanding what you're saying but not understanding what you're saying.
And that's why terminology can be so difficult, because a lot of times we're trying to put, like, universal labels on what are, in fact, incredibly different experiences. And I know that you said in passing before, but, like, now that we're here, I kind of want to touch back on it. It's sort of hesitation toward labels?
Yeah, a little bit.
How so?
I'm not really sure. Certain labels I definitely jive with, like, no matter what. Like, ace, I will always carry ace. I love that so much. And bi as well. Bi is just, I've been comfy with that. And then genderqueer is just kind of like, since I've had so many gender feels for a short period of time, that it's like, oh, well, I can look back in my childhood and see, like, I kind of have always felt this way. I've just never examined it so closely until recently. So it's still very new for me. So even though I'm secure in what I feel, it's still, like, finding a label that is just easy to say. So I don't have to be like, I am explaining my identity every time there's one of those cute queer hashtags going around on Twitter when I post selfies, you know? I can just be like, I'm bi, ace, and genderqueer. The past few ones of those, actually, I put NB, because I was just like, I don't know what to say at all. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm a boy and a girl every time.
So it's more of a personal navigation of labels rather than, like, a general feeling about labels.
Absolutely. Like, my general feeling about labels is, if labels work for you, that is wonderful, and you can use them all you want. If not, then don't use them. Like, you do whatever feels right for you, and if labels are right for you, if they help you feel valid in your identity, then that's wonderful, and do the work that you need to find the one that fits for you, because that was a struggle for me, as I was like, none of these words work for what I feel. But if you don't want labels, if you're just like, I am what I am and I don't need anyone to know instantly, then, you know, just do how you feel.
Yeah. I've noticed, difficult to navigate because, labeling oneself can also be seen as, like, a political move, because just to exist in this current climate is sort of political, even not intentionally, as it often is. We'd love to live non-political lives, but that's not what's happening right now. But then on the other hand, you have people like, I was talking to somebody last night, and they had listened to the podcast, and they're like, I've been feeling like this, but I don't know what that is, and I don't know if I'm queer. And I'm like, is it helpful for you to have those labels, or do you feel just more compelled to have a label because, like, everybody's got a label? Yeah. Labels aren't a pledge. They're a resource. They're a tool.
Yeah.
Utilize the tool if you need to utilize a tool or you want to utilize a tool, but you're not going around swinging a hammer everywhere just because people use hammers and the hammer's in your toolbox.
Exactly. Yeah, you should be using it for a reason. And I think that being political is definitely part of it for me, because I definitely want to be like, I'm bi! Homophobes, step off! Get away from me! I told I told, like, some, not a frat boy, a military boy, they're basically the same thing, that
another squares and rectangles situation.
That was very wrong of me to say, and I apologize immediately, but, so I told him I was bi, and he was like, "You're bi? That's awesome," and he gave me a high five, and he said, "I love bi girls," and in my head, I'm like, "Why? Why do you love bi girls? Why? Yeah. Please tell me why. I will not have sex with a woman in front of you if that's what you wonder."
A lot of straight people or cis people, like, fetishize deviances in sexuality because it's like, oh, this girl's bi? That means she's gonna make out with other girls in front of me at parties.
Yeah, and it's like, well, the only three people in this room are me and two men, and I'm hugging one of the men, so I don't know what you expect of me. I guess it's a little gay.
No, a little gay.
It's a little gay.
And you're a little gay. It works.
Yeah.
Little, like,
literally.
I'm very small.
Yes.
Small gay.
Small gay. Oh, one of my favorite things that I get when I tell people I'm ace is, like, a plant. You know, like, asexual, because the only time they've ever heard the word asexual is how plants reproduce asexually.
Like and a sponge. When I say, I've gotten that one.
Oh, like a, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say, oh, I'm asexual, and they say, like a plant? Like, they're genuinely confused, and it's the kind of thing where, like,
God, Cortland, put your pistols and stamen away.
I'm gonna make a very specific reference right now, and it takes a little bit of a story. This one time, I was flying to Phoenix, and there was bad weather, so we had to divert to Ontario, California, but they did not specify, and everyone on the plane said, "We're going to Canada?" It's like, there's no logical reason for you to be thinking this. But I understand that your brain went there.
But if you're hearing the word Ontario for the first time and you're typically thinking of Canada, then you're gonna
especially
have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if you've only ever heard asexual in terms of, like, plants, then it's
So I get it. I get it. Please stop.
That's that just honest to God ignorance and not like a purposeful ignorance that we've touched on in the past.
Yeah.
How somebody can say something that is ignorant, but it's coming from a place of just generally, like, genuinely, they don't know.
Exactly.
So, trying to navigate those waters, like, are you homophobic, or did you just not go on Tumblr.com?
Yeah, exactly. One thing that is the most annoying thing I've ever heard, because a while when I was struggling with my spectrum of aceness, I was trying out demi, and Jen, in your episode, you mentioned demisexual.
Controversy.
And every time I would say to someone, not every time, a lot of times, I would say to someone that, oh, I'm demisexual, and that would explain what that meant, they would say, but isn't everyone like that? And I'd have to be like,
my least favorite phrase.
It's so much more nuanced than that. Someone also said to me, isn't everyone just a little bit bi? And I was, I wish that at the time I would have been like, actually no, but I was just not in the mood. So I was like, haha, yeah, I guess.
I just dislike that phrase so much because people who use it generally they're trying to sound progressive and stuff like that, but it's actually erasing identity.
Exactly.
Because it's saying, like, oh, if everybody's bi or if everybody's demisexual, then that means nobody is. And you shouldn't be talking about it and labeling yourself like that because that's just what everybody's doing. Now shut up.
Yeah.
And I think on top of that with the demi thing, it's definitely an ignorance involving, like, sexual attraction and what it means to not have that, because it's so hard for certain people to imagine a lack of that.
Yeah.
Like, so hard, and I get that, because it's really hard for me to imagine the opposite sometimes.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
But, like, yeah, so, like, when people are like, oh, everyone's like that, they're thinking, like, oh, yeah, I don't want to have sex with, like, a stranger, I want to know them, and it's like, no, but it's like a switch that is off, no sexual attraction ever, until a specific person flips that switch. And then it's only for them. It's I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, and it's, and
can't feel that.
Something that I ended up adopting and trying to explain it is that, because someone, we both know, I'll tell you who after.
Okay.
Just in case they don't want.
Some off-air gossip is gonna go down.
I don't know if they are comfortable with me saying their name on a podcast.
I'm not telling you that. I'm not like, spill the beans, Cortland.
Tell us who. Yeah, they messaged me and they said, because I tweeted something, and they said, oh, I'm actually really confused by what you mean by this. Could you please explain further if you're comfortable? And kind of what I thought was, like, and I know that this isn't a perfect definition, and again, it's different for everybody, but I feel like asexuality at its corest form is about sexual attraction, not sexual arousal. Because a lot of ace people masturbate, a lot of ace people have sex with their partners, and, you know, ace people aren't broken. We can still experience sexual arousal.
It's just some people super don't, even if they're the most sex-repulsed ace person in the world, they can still be physically aroused, because guess what? That's just a physical response. Yeah, that's just what bodies do. It's just, they might not enjoy that, which, I mean, bodies do things that we don't enjoy all the time, to be fair.
That's something I struggle with. Every time my body is like, oh, is it, are we doing it? I'm like, no, never. Please go away.
We're not doing it. Get out of here.
It's not going to happen.
Take a shower.
Go cool off. Look at some baseball cards.
I was going to compare that to my eyes, just being like, every time something mildly upsetting happens, my eyes are like, oh, are we crying? Is it time to cry? And it's like, no.
Bring it back.
And it's like that. It's like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's just a response that is not, it's just out of my control. And it happens. And I'm like, no.
I have a question that I meant to ask at the very beginning of this.
Oh.
Because you mentioned being genderqueer. I wanted to ask you about your pronouns.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
My pronouns are she, her. You can also use they, them if you prefer that. But I just, like, linguistically and aesthetically like female pronouns. I don't know why. It's also comfortable because I've used them my whole life, and I don't have any sort of, like, dysphoria or anything with them. It's just, like, I like the way that sounds. I like saying she. I like hearing she.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up because I think there is some confusion sometimes when a genderqueer person chooses to use she, her, or he, him, because, you know, it's like, some people will be like, well, but I thought you weren't that, but it's like words.
Yeah, it's similar to gender expression, like, with your clothing. It's like, I follow a few people on Twitter who are non-binary, and they are extraordinarily femme in their presentation, but they use they-them pronouns, and they are non-binary, and it's, like, just what you project to the world, like, on an aesthetic level is not necessarily reflective of your identity, and sometimes it is. So, like, I just feel like she, her, fits into what I feel, which brings me to something that I've been thinking about recently. So, the term cis, as in cisgender, I have always heard to mean someone who does not identify with what they were assigned at birth. Mm-hmm. And I watched this YouTube video of a gender...
Does or does not?
What did I say?
Cis does identify.
Yes. Okay. Words are very hard.
You probably said that, but my brain panicked.
Words are really hard, so if I didn't say it, I wouldn't be surprised. I said something completely opposite to you yesterday, and you were like, what?
So, to clarify, cisgender means that you do identify with the gender you were assigned at birth.
Thank you, Christina.
There we go.
Yeah, so, and then I watched this YouTube video from a non-binary person who said that cis is a binary term, so you are either cis or you are not. So if you're non-binary, that means you're not cis, which I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about that specific definition, because I don't know if I'm cis or not, because I do identify with the gender I was assigned at birth, but there's more to it than that. So it's like, I am a woman. I do feel the way my parents assumed I was from the time I fell out.
Find a better doctor. Is that...
No, the midwife caught me. It was fine.
Baseball bat.
Mitten.
Yes.
Baseball mitten.
Oh, God.
We are not anti-baby here at My Gay Agenda. We just get confused about words sometimes.
Oh, I messed... Hello, listeners. You may remember me from My Gay Agenda. Sometimes we make mistakes. I just want to apologize.
Please do not not bring baseball bats to your vaginal births.
Or any
birth, for that matter.
No, don't take one to a C-section either.
Yeah. This may be controversial.
I need everyone to know that Christina is actually crying.
You know, I'm just going to make this a broader PSA. Don't take weapons to hospitals.
Well, actually, I was born at home.
Well, don't take hospitals. We're
messing up. All right, let's bring it back.
We're doing great. We're professionals. This is our third whole episode.
Joke's on you, audience. That whole thing was a bit. You can't see me staring into the void right now.
Yeah, we rehearsed losing control and laughing and crying and... Anyway.
Oh, my heart won't stop. Okay.
Anyway, so about the...
Yeah, so I do identify with what I was assigned at birth, but there's more to it than that. There is some extra shit in there that no one knew until I told them.
I mean, well, obviously it's whatever you feel most comfortable with, and I'm definitely not the person to be making distinctions on this. As a cis, the way I've always seen it, and the way I've seen genderqueer people talk about it, it seems to me that if you feel additional gender feels, then, like, because cis seems very much like straight.
Yeah.
Because, like, you are if you're attracted to a gender that isn't your own, and also your own gender, it's like you're not one of those things.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not straight. I'm not gay, though I do make a lot of jokes about it.
Well, that's because if we can't have our own spaces, we're going to keep co-opting that word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, fun fact.
Like in the title of this whole podcast.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Stop by erasure, but anyway.
Yeah, this one time I made so many gay jokes about myself that I was 5 minutes into making out with a guy, and he pulled back and he goes, "Wait, are you really gay?"
I had somebody just, like, very genuinely, honest to God, just did not know the answer, because Tim's around me all the time. Mm-hmm. This person saw me with Tim all the time, like, knew that Tim and I were dating and things like that. But I used the term gay casually, and this person was like, "I just genuinely, like, have to know, you say you're gay and you're dating Tim. Are you and Tim actually together? Is that..." Yes, both things are true.
Oh, but wait, before you stop me.
Yes, and...
Let me explain.
I just have to say, when you said you used the word gay casually, my thought was instantly, oh, are you a business gay or a casual gay?
I'm business casual gay.
Okay, so yeah, you don't mind they, but you prefer she.
Yeah.
Went back to pronouns. Correct. I'm sorry, my brain was just like, I just want to recap that.
Yeah.
Okay. Do not like he.
It's not that I don't like he. When I had short hair, my dream was that someone would refer to me as he, or that a child would come up to me and be like, "Are you a boy or a girl?" That was the dream. That just to be a total gender fucking confusion.
Can I say amen?
So would your answers be like, "Nah"? It's like, "Are you a boy or a girl?"
No. Well, no, see, because for me, it's, "Are you a boy or a girl?" Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, there's something that haunts me to this day. When I was 18, I was, I only just remembered this yesterday, but I think about it probably about once a month. When I was 18, I was on, like Words with Friends, or one of those online game apps, and a child, presumably a child, messaged me. And said, "Are you a boy or a girl?" And I'm very heavy quotation marks right here, air quotes, as a joke. I said, "I'm both." And then I was like, "Oh, I feel bad. That's probably confusing for this child." So I said again, I messaged again, and I said, "JK, I'm a girl." And I still feel horrible about doing that. Aww. I recognize that I was 18 at the time. But it's strange because I am both.
Well, yeah, no, I think, you know, it's weird. People always think that children won't understand queer concepts like that. But, like, it's only because they're raised not to. And if you catch them before that, or if they have the right parents, kids will accept Mm-hmm. Anything you tell them about your identity.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, don't abuse that.
Of course.
Don't be like, I'm a vampire.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm a Godzilla.
I think, in fact, I could say with confidence, every queer person has a moment in their past that they're like, I did the wrong queer thing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. There's like definitely a lot of internalized homophobia, transphobia that we know about now,
mm-hmm.
and there's moments now that we're going to know about in the future.
Yeah.
Like, as long as we're constantly working to change ourselves, we're going to have those moments, but it's nice to be like, I'm a different person now.
Exactly.
I'm learning more now. Yeah, I'm still learning.
As long as you are still continuously changing and evolving and growing, it's you don't have to feel so gut-wrenchingly bad about the problematic things you've said when you were a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A literal child.
Shall we move into the gay agenda?
Yes.
Oh.
Cortland, what is on your gay agenda?
Which card is it on?
I knew it would be a flashcard. I knew it!
I wrote it very small at the bottom because I didn't know how much space I needed, but it turns out I didn't need that much.
My demands are few but pressing.
Yes. Pretty much what I would love is to not, like, it's a fucking meme now with anti-SJWs to be like, don't assume my gender, but literally don't assume my gender. It would be super chill if we could just use gender-neutral pronouns for people when we don't know.
Mm.
And especially even if someone is super femme-presenting or super mass-presenting, you still don't know what they identify with and you still don't know what their pronouns are, so it's still okay to use they, them.
They until proven otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
Like court terms.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a very extreme demand whatsoever. It is hard to fight that urge. I know we've talked, me and Cortland have talked about, like, when we see cats, we're just like, look at that boy.
Yeah.
It's like,
every cat is a boy for me. Every dog is a boy. Everything, every object is a boy. But
oh,
I think it's just, I'm projecting.
We use men as the default.
Yeah.
And any other gender as the exception. So, like, if you say she, it's like, how do you know it's a girl? It's like, well, how would I have known it was a boy I had said he? But we don't make that.
And I mean, to be fair, cats don't care if you misgender them.
Yeah.
They don't have the same concept of it as people do, but I still feel bad when I do it, because even though the cat doesn't care at all, I'm like, oh, this is indicative of a, like, longer going, ongoing issue in my brain.
Especially because pet owners get so tight in their panties when you misgender their pets.
I've never heard that phrase before in my life.
To be honest, the phrase I was searching for was get their panties in a wad. But I was already speaking too quickly to remember it in time, so I just said whatever came out of my mouth.
Oh my god. So I think that agenda item is actually something that we could work on today. So, like,
yeah.
And just moving forward, that's not as long-term as many of the agenda items. So, like, audience, let's go ahead and implement that right now. What you do is, when you look at a person, imagine that you don't know what their gender is by looking at them. Just assume that their gender is not correlated with what you're looking at.
Mm.
Yeah, and just go ahead.
Yeah, and it's strange and it's difficult at first because of what we've been trained to believe, but I actually started thinking this way because I knew someone who used they, them pronouns for the first time. I had never known someone in person, and so I was actively trying very hard to use the correct pronouns when I was talking about them with our other friends. And because I was working so hard, I ended up just naturally using they, them pronouns for everybody.
Mm.
And so now it's still like, I'm not perfect at it. Like, there are still a lot of times I don't do it, but it's a lot easier now. And I can more easily recognize when I say she or he to be like, I don't have to say that. I can say they. Also, a side note, it's a lot easier to say they than the words he or she.
It is.
Mm.
So much easier, faster.
And also, I believe the inverse is also true for yourself. I think if somebody asks you what your gender is, the answer shouldn't be like, well, I'm obviously a girl. My boobs are so visible right now. Like, of course I'm a girl. How could you think that I'm not a girl?
Yeah, people get so... They get their panties in a wad when you misgender them.
They get so tight in their panties.
They get so tight in their panties. I'll start saying that now.
Oh,
cis people get so fucking mad when you misgender them. Wait, like, if they, like, especially, like, a man with long hair or a woman with short hair, they're like, I'm obviously, how dare you? And it's like, how do you think we feel?
Yeah. And then they go around and they're like, why is everybody so sensitive about, like, using the right? And I'm like, you were just sensitive. Just then.
Literally,
you just...
I called you he by accident and you were like, I'm not, how dare you?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's just a matter of, like, when you accidentally assume a cat is a boy or, like, something like that, just gently correct yourself. It's really, like, that's how you fix things like that. You just go, like, oops, I mean they.
And especially if you know someone who uses they-them pronouns, don't make a big deal out of it if you mess up. So instead of being like, she, oh, no, I'm so sorry, I just be like, oh, excuse me, they.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a big deal because they don't want it to be a big deal. They just want you to be right.
Yep, correct and move on.
And exactly. If you have an anxiety disorder, like me, and accidentally misgender someone, it can be a big deal in your brain. Yeah. Don't bring it out to them. That's not their shit to deal with. But you can panic about it in your own brain.
Yeah, just and then write about it in your diary.
Yeah, later. Or like tell your therapist or your cat
but
about
like,
it later.
They're
yeah.
so used to that crap. I doubt they're going to be like, well, I guess I can't trust that person ever again.
Exactly. There are plenty of people who feel much more comfortable with a certain pronoun, but when someone uses the wrong, like, I know someone who hasn't even told, like, their coworkers or their boss their pronouns, because they're just like, it's just so much easier. I know they're going to mess up, and it's just, I don't care that much.
Yeah.
So even though their pronouns are they, them, and they are much more comfortable with that, when people use the wrong one, they're like, whatever. Mm. It's whatever.
And I mean, some people are a lot more uncomfortable with that, but they still don't want you to make a big deal out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, just don't correct yourself passive-aggressively either,
oh,
because that's
God,
the
no.
worst.
Don't do that ever.
Keep the burden on you. And don't transfer it to them. Cool. So, I heard there might be a game.
Ooh,
yes. Jen, take it away.
All right. It is a trivia game called Pun Sexual, Pun Romantic.
Right. I know it's off to a fantastic start because of that title.
So, I'm going to describe something, and you are going to tell me what the answer is to the thing I am describing, but all the answers are going to be some sort of either a queer term or a pun on a queer term. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I were to say, this hit and sing song is about exiting a relationship because your partner wouldn't respect that you're attracted to two genders or more, you would say...
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye,
yeah,
bye.
There we go. You got it. Okay.
I'm a singer, I promise.
Okay. Now,
I'm an artist.
I am an artiste.
Now, this the target audience for this game is, of course, Cortland, but Christina has not heard these questions. So if Cortland is having a bit of a struggle, Christina, you are her lifeline.
All right.
Okay.
Call a friend.
Can I phone a friend, please?
Y'all ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
This playing card is fairly queer indeed. It can represent either 1, 11, or a lack of sexual attraction.
The ace.
Yes!
Question number 2. RuPaul will soon be playing this classic Wonderland villain, but they'll be changing the catchphrase to "Off with her wig!"
The drag queen of hearts?
You got it.
Yay!
All right. This is one of my favorite ones.
Good.
This crocodilian has a shorter, rounder snout than his cousins. And he always leaves the swamp with his boyfriend by saying, see you later.
Alligator?
Alligator.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was the best one. I said it was my one of my favorites.
Jen loves crocodilians.
I love crocodilians. In the Disney movie Tangled, the princess uses a strange improvised weapon to hit anyone over the head, regardless of their gender.
Frying pansexual.
Yes!
Yeah!
I'm very pleased with these.
I'm so glad. All right, I saved my actual favorite for last, so this is the last question.
Here we go.
Ready? This group of large, maned big cats march across the African savannah chanting, we're here, we're queer.
Bions?
That's not what we're looking for. Would you like to call in your lifeline?
Yeah, okay. Christina, please help.
Ring, ring, you got it. Jen, would you mind repeating it for me?
This group of large, maned big cats march across the African savanna, chanting, we're here, we're queer.
Pride.
A Pride of Lions.
Oh!
That one's my favorite.
I just had to go deep into my brain to figure out what a group of lions is called. I called my gods and was like, bless me with this knowledge. Everything's dependent on this.
That was beautiful.
That was
pun sexual, pun romantic.
So thank you for playing some snaps.
Good job, Jen. I knew I could trust you with the minigame. Excellent. All right. So that will do it for us today. If you would like to be interviewed on this podcast, please send us an email at info@mygayagendapodcast.com with your name, gender identity, and a brief summary of your experiences. Emailing us is not a guarantee that you will be featured on the show, but it's the best way to start.
Ooh, before we go, I mean, let me know if we don't want to do this with our guests. But,
no, go ahead.
Cortland, would you like to plug anything or any social medias where people can find you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm on YouTube, youtube.com/CourtlandLouise, CourtlandLouise. I'm Cortland Louise on pretty much everything, Twitter, Instagram. I mentioned I'm a photographer.
Follow her Instagram. It's real good.
I'm a photographer, and so you can find my photography on Instagram. And I'm hilarious on Twitter.
True.
So
I was honestly watching a few of your YouTube videos yesterday just to, like, study, and they were super fun. So
thank you.
Go ahead and check out Cortland's YouTube channel. It's super fun and very topical.
All right, you can also find me if you want. I don't know why you'd want to. On Twitter @_glittergoblin_ or on Instagram @glitter.goblin.
Jen makes super fun art, and it's lovely. And she's been going hard on Inktober. And it's been super fun to watch.
So this is airing in November.
Whatever.
Well, then you can see all of them. So go back and look at all my YouTubers.
They're all beautiful. And you should follow her on Twitter as well because she's also hilarious. More hilarious than I.
Yes, feed me. Compliments and attention. Validation. Yum, yum, yum.
And as for this podcast, you can find us on iTunes. You're probably here already. You can also go to our website, mygayagendapodcast.com. We also have a Facebook page called, it's facebook.com/mygayagendapodcast. You can also just search My Gay Agenda Podcast, and that'll be the first thing to come up. And our Twitter account is @gayagendacast, and the hashtag is MGAcast.
All right, until next time, put this to-do list on your gay agenda. Fight the power, love yourself, do the dishes.
You gotta do them. They've been stacked up in that sink for a bit.
I have a lot in my sink right now.
Yeah.
And that's our gay agenda. That's